Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 143. My name's Turner Sparks.
I'm Hungry Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram, just like it sounds. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram also. Where you can find the pod? Where can you find
Lost
the pod?
Lost in America pod on Instagram and Twitter. That's what
Instagram
we need.
And Twitter. And every week we're doing these 1 minute clips from the highlights of the show the previous week. So get on there, follow us on their Instagram, on Twitter.
On Twitter, it's Lost N America?
It's just the letter N. Yeah, it's a real disaster. I think maybe we should do a YouTube page as well. Let's just get everywhere.
We have to become the kings of all media.
Kings of all media. Speaking of all media, guys, all last week we babbled on and on for an entire episode about Patreon. It is now live.
It was not a bit. Real.
It's real. So go to lostinamericapod.com. There will be, I got this whole pop-up window going on now. I spent a lot of time in the tech lab. Mm-hmm. So we got a pop-up window. I went straight to Silicon Valley, got the best guys working on it.
We have a tech lab?
We do. We got a tech team.
A tech team, all right.
I was down there. I was doing the thing that, what's his name? Who's the guy who created Apple? Steve Jobs?
Steve Jobs. You and Steve Jobs.
What in the garage. You know that old, like, Bill Burr bit where he's like, he didn't create anything. He just, like, told people what to do. He's like, yo, I want my CD player, but like the size of a thumbnail.
Yeah.
And then they did it. That's what I was doing.
That's what you were doing?
I was yelling at the boys down in the garage.
I want this font, Times New Roman. I want that font.
Yep. So go to lostinamericapod.com. It will pop up. Just click the little button there, and it'll take you to Patreon. You can at least see what we're talking about. The number one thing we want everyone to do, though, for $5 a month, you get a weekly wrap-up show starting this week.
Yeah.
So this Thursday and every Thursday, Cap, producer Matt, and I will stick around after the show you're listening to right now, and we're going to do a wrap-up show on the wrap-up show this week.
Oh, yeah.
Let's tease
the wrap-up show. Producer Matt went to a wedding.
Who is producer Matt? That's a giant segment we're going to be doing, I think, every week, but at least as long as it runs, until it runs out.
Until we figure out who he is.
I'm excited for this because I'm not entirely sure yet.
He doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, he's going to learn a lot about himself.
We're going to find, this is going to be like Marc Maron. We're going to do deep psychology.
I never listen to Marc Maron, but I'll take your word for it.
Neither do I, but I think people do.
That's what he does.
You just say it's like Marc Maron, and people will listen to it.
Done.
Producer Matt, no, but who is he? We don't even know if he has it. What's it? Does he have another job?
I don't know his last name.
Does he have a family?
We'll start with that.
We don't know anything. Yeah. We just heard he got stabbed with a knife at a wedding one time.
Oh, that's all coming up for the wrap-up show.
Exactly, on the wrap-up show. Also, a segment, Into the Weeds. This is where, because we don't have enough time to get deep into us, I want to talk comedy. Like, I want to name names about people I hate in the New York comedy industry, but I'm not going to do it on this show.
Yeah, they're not listening. You don't think the people you hate aren't going to pay the money.
They're not
the
paying Patreon. $5 to find out if I hate them.
Yeah, all right. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to hold back. I'm just going to let loose. I'm going to be really boring this episode, free episode, and really funny. And I'm going to name names, too, in all sorts of industries I've worked in.
All right. So that's that. Kaplan, on the podcast this week, we have stand-up comedian Jared Fried. There's a very important reason why he's on this week. Now, number one, he's a fantastic comedian. He has two huge podcasts. He has the J-Train podcast, where he does, like, dating advice type stuff. And then he has the You Up podcast on the Betches Network, which I think is some giant conglomerate, maybe like a blog or something.
He's not into you. Not like us.
Not indie. No. It's terrestrial podcasting.
Terrestrial podcaster. Yeah. He's a real terrestrial podcaster.
And, but they're both huge. Jared tours all over the United States. He went out and did our China tour. He also was in London recently doing comedy. So we're going to talk to him about British comedy scene, what they think of it Americans, because he's a very American comic.
Very American guy.
He's fantastic. But also, the big reason we're having him on, he's going to Sacramento, playing the Punchline Sacramento, August 22nd to 24th. I ran into him over at the New York Comedy Club the other night. He goes, Turner, I'm not selling enough tickets in Sacramento. I need a bump. And I said, you need a bump?
You need a pod.
Do you know where to come?
Yeah. You know why he's not selling tickets?
Why?
Because our last live show, we told all our fans he was coming.
Oh, yeah.
And then he bailed on us.
That's true.
Our pod army got angry. Now, we didn't tell them to do that. We're calling off the dogs now. This is a truce.
Water under the bridge.
But Myrna Sparks is probably picketing outside that Punchline as we speak.
So he's going to be in the Punchline August 24th to 22nd. In all seriousness, he's one of my favorite comedians to watch in New York City. He kills every single time. He does a lot of dating stuff, but as a single guy in his 30s, it's hilarious. So everyone get tickets to that. He's coming up in a minute. Before all that, Kaplan, let's get to Lost in America.
Play the music.
Kaplan, you're lost in America this week once again.
Yeah, well, for longtime listeners of this podcast, remember our old sponsor, Ents?
Sure.
Yeah, so remember we went to the Ents launch party last year that really catapulted that app into everyday fame?
Oh, that also is, yeah, it did catapult the app. It also got me into the New York magazines.
Yeah,
that old
you benefited way more from that party than Ikram did. But if you remember, listeners of that episode were recapped to remember there was a raffle, multiple raffles. They gave away shares of the company. They gave away all sorts of things.
I remember.
And remember, I won.
Yeah, what'd you win?
I won a night at the Standard Hotel.
Yes.
In New York City, the Meatpacking District.
Beautiful New York
City.
It took me...
Months to track down this even voucher from Celeste, old producer Celeste.
Yeah.
But I finally got it. I didn't believe it was real. I just kind of ignored it. I had the heart attack. Stuff was going on. Finally, I looked at it one day. It was expiring in August of this year.
Yeah.
I assumed it wasn't work. Called up the hotel. Lo and behold, it works.
Really?
It's a real thing. So Randy and I had my mom and my sister watch the kids. We had a staycation.
Does it still work if the company's now bankrupt? The original company that gave it to you gave them the last nail in the coffin by actually using it.
Yeah,
Ikram got dinged with a bill.
They're just getting a bill this month, and they're actually closing up shop now because my mini bar charges just sent them over the edge.
Oh my god!
So we went over to the Standard Hotel. Have you ever stayed at a hotel in Manhattan?
No,
before you lived here.
No, I did. No, I stayed at that one where they used to kill hookers. What was that one called?
The Chelsea Hotel.
Yeah. No, the one near your apartment.
There was a hotel near my apartment. That was like a park. It was the homeless shelter.
It was 2006.
Bowery Mission.
Anyway, whatever. It was over there. You'll know. I'll tell you later.
Yeah. So my first observation is that they're just like this. I don't know. They're like kind of like dumps. Like they're not that nice. Like they want to be sushi.
Yeah, they don't have to be. They're in New York City.
Yeah. So our room was like, it looked like a boat. Like you were like in a boat and there was like a bedroom in the boat. It was like a wooden ceiling.
Like where the comedians stay at the bottom of the cruise ship.
The shower was like on top of the bed. Like, I don't know. You have to be in a relationship to have this room.
Okay.
Like there's no curtain. You just take a shower and it's like, hello world. Like the windows.
Yeah, actually, this is similar. Hong Kong's the exact same way. I think in these cities where it's so dense, it's a given that they're not going to have space.
Yeah.
Right? And so they at least try to make it clean, but it's tiny. Is that what they did or no? Is it even garbage?
It was clean, yes, but it was so tiny.
I like how
tiny.
You're complaining about a free night stay at a hotel.
Well, this is my observations. Is like, because I was excited. It was a big vacation. So
sure.
I packed a bathing suit because I was ready to go to the pool. I figured it was like one of these New York City like douchey pool scenes that nobody's swimming in. Everyone's brunching around and drinking, but I'm going to swim.
Yep.
Maybe I'll bring the goggles, do some laps. Randy packed three bathing suits because she doesn't know her mood and wants to like know which one to wear based on the scene.
Black, and other black.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Also packed seven pairs of shoes as a whole. I'll post that picture on our...
Okay.
Didn't know what we were doing, so she couldn't. But anyway, so then we get there, and I'm like, all right, let's get the bathing suits on. Let's go find the pool. Away we go. It's Saturday afternoon. Walking around, I can't figure out where the pool is. They didn't tell us where we check in. I'm asking somebody. They're like, oh, I think it's actually downstairs. I've been in the meatpacking district many times. I've never seen a pool down there. Go all the way down there. Because if you go on the website, you see like people lounging around.
It says something about a pool.
Yeah, it says something about the word pool. I've seen it.
Okay, so what happens?
It's called the no pool pool. They think this is hilarious. It's there's no pool. It's blue AstroTurf. They have a bunch of lounge chairs. They have towels. Everything you'd have at a pool normally.
But on the website, they call it a pool.
Well, I think it says no pool, but I didn't see that.
Let's get blue shirt. Yeah. Let's
this is a real lawsuit.
This is a lawsuit.
And the worst
We're
part,
in America.
And it's on the street. You're not gonna, who's going to wear a bathing suit? So all the bathing suits out the window.
So people are lounging around like a mini golf.
Yeah, pretty much lounging around a mini golf thing with drinks. Yeah. And when taunting me the most is that if I go on Instagram while I'm at the hotel, it's like they know it's the standard. So I'm getting like pop-ups for other standard hotels that all have pools. They're showing me pools.
Real pools.
They're just taunting me with real pools. Yeah. No pool. A few other notes on this hotel. I just think it's very interesting of where we are as a society. You get when you check in, they give you this little bag and there's a... There's a card with a direct phone number to call the local congressman.
Okay.
In like the district wherever we are.
Call them. They don't have a pool.
to call with whatever political thing you like. They're trying to appease to like the woke traveler or something. Like who's calling their congressman on vacation in a place they don't even live in to like talk about gun control or whatever they want?
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, there was a card. It was like, this is the number for your local. And there's a number to look up your local. Yeah.
In case you want to complain about like the gender discrepancy at your pool or something.
Yeah. While you're there. You have politics. Politics can't sleep.
Politics doesn't go on vacation.
We're at a hotel that has like the boom boom room. And it's like a really wannabe douchey.
Wait, what's a boom boom room?
Like the club upstairs. It's not a place where anybody knows what. No one's reading the New York Times. They don't give you a newspaper at the room.
Everyone's calling their congressman at the same time and lounging around a non-pool.
No one's reading even the USA Today at the non-pool. Like, nobody gives a shit. But in keeping with that theme, they also are advertising that they have a poet in residence at this hotel. I used to always think, before kids, I should try to go get a residency somewhere. There's all sorts of places, Iowa, all sorts of places all around the country. You could go to like a farmhouse up in New York State. But I think like, who's the poet who would like be like, I'm going to apply to be the poet in residence at the Standard Hotel.
I mean, take it back to the Chelsea, like all the poets used to live, to be a poet, you had to live at the Chelsea and just slum it and have rats eating your socks.
Where you could live.
Yeah, but now to be a poet, you got to live at the douchebag whatever hotel.
Yeah, you win like a scholarship to live at like a douchey hotel that's like a shithole. But like,
need to do this.
I'm going to apply. Anybody who's a writer in the audience, we need to get somebody in there because I think I don't know. I think that's much more character building.
I think the answer to this is we apply to be.
You
poets.
Can write great poetry about the AstroTurf and this, and
it's fantastic. I'm in.
And then so it was a nice time. It was a nice little 24. But the thing is like we had you know, when you have kids, you have someone watching your kids, you want to like take advantage. You want to do like all sorts of shit. But Randy, we packed so much clothes for this no pool pool situation.
For one night.
We had like a giant bag that might not have, it was too big for a carry-on on an airplane. We would have had to check it.
Okay.
And then,
wait, is this one night a weekday or weekend?
One night, it was a weekend, a Saturday night.
Okay.
But like we got there kind of early Saturday. We were going to try, I wanted to do a whole day Sunday, but you got to schlep this bag around. I just went home.
This is the dumbest vacation I've ever heard.
And we're schlepping this bag around and Randy insists on like, because of my heart condition.
Yeah.
She's carrying it up and downstairs in the subway, which is like, now I can't even, I'm like, first I'm trying to help her. And then there's no move that's right. Cause nobody knows I had a heart attack now.
No.
So I'm like, I'm taking like 20 paces behind her. Cause I don't want people looking at me like I'm an asshole.
Exactly.
I'm like, I don't even know you. Thank you. But I can't be like, this is very emasculating.
You got to get your heart attack vest back.
I do. Or I need like a badge.
Just
or like,
wear it. Just as a prop.
Like, yeah.
Just so people know
of, like,
you had
Star
a heart
of David. That's not in, but I could wear just like a heart, like
yeah,
a star
something.
Heart, put a heart on my thing. And yeah, we'll
so
do
what's
that.
The question?
Is that the no? I'm giving you a recap.
It's a recap. Okay.
I'm giving you some advice. Don't stay at the Standard Hotel.
All right, unless you want to be a poet.
Unless you want to be a poet. Yeah.
And why could you call for the poet? Could you be like, I request poetry in my room?
I should have. You know, the last thing they did on that note is they gave us a copy of it's like, this is their other theme, political. They give you a copy of 1984. And it's like, steal this book. It's like, if you take this book, $10 on your room charge will go to the National Endowment of Arts or something. It's like, everything's a big protest at the Standard Hotel.
But protesting
which is
what? Like, these are all...
Yeah.
This is like a wealthy douchebag hotel.
I know. It's
people should be protesting you. This is what
this is modern resistance.
All right.
So I'm giving you a summary.
All right. Let's get to Jared Fried. I think he's hanging out. We got to get him in. We got to sell him some tickets in Sacramento, California. Jared Fried, come on
pod
in.
Bump.
All right, we're back with Jared Fried. Welcome to the show. You got some opinions on the Standard. I saw you sitting over there. I'm like,
dude,
we need to get him in.
I am literally foaming at the mouth to talk about the Standard Hotel. You don't understand. It's great that you're healthy. Yeah. It's good to see you, buddy.
Thank you.
You look good. Post heart attack, weight loss.
I recommend a diet to anyone. Yeah, if you're committed enough.
My dad had a heart attack when he was like 40. And a young heart attack. So I know that the minute you get at, you're like, oh, okay, good, I'm healthy. And then you're like, wow, I'm really going to go lose some fucking weight and look good. Yeah.
Are you monitoring yourself closely? Because if you've had a dad who's had a heart attack at 40.
I mean, not as closely as I should.
They told me if it's under 45, the kid's equivalent is smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. So like, my kid's smoking.
We had a cardiologist on the pod to explain to all of our...
I should be going to the doctor right from here.
Yeah, right. Number one question, when Kaplan had a heart attack, our listeners' number one question was, what does that mean for me?
Yeah. Of course.
Because everyone wants to know now when they're having a heart attack.
Well, it's like this person is similar age to me.
Yeah.
As far as like health wise, we're doing similar things. It's like, oh no, my own immortality.
You number know? One yeah. is, are you okay? But number 1A, immediately yeah. after the is now, am one. I going to have a heart yeah. attack?
So you smoked a lot of cigarettes, right? Like people were like making
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you didn't work out, right?
Yeah. A lot of Coke.
Coke once a week.
We did find out that the better, our cardiologist on the pod told us the better quality the Coke, the more susceptible you are to a heart attack.
Yeah, I did lots of shitty Coke, luckily.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Thank you.
I mean, that's
goodness.
What I'm doing now.
You still had
yeah. I mean, I used to do good stuff now.
You downgraded.
But you've been the standard in
New
York?
So I went to the one in L.A., and I've been traveling so much recently that, like, there's this thing going on around the country, and I call it, like, the hipster Ritz.
Mm. Yeah.
Where
exactly.
It's like, it's
exactly.
nice enough. Like, the standard, basically, they've JetBlueified everything.
Yes, that's a good
So it's like, you get just enough. Yeah. Everyone's going to do well, but no one's going to do great.
Yeah.
It's like a socialism yes. traveling because
it's
like
socialism, yes.
It's really crazy because you go to these hotels and it's like, you know, it's like, oh, look at, they have like all at the standard, they have like this whole like menu of stuff above the fridge and you're like, oh, look how nice it is. And it's like, yeah, everything costs money. Like none of it's free.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of it's going to be given to you. The bed like kind of sucks.
It's kind of a shitty bed. Yeah.
Yeah. And but then
it's
you're like,
it's like on the floor of the bed. It's like not even like a frame or something.
But are you
like
supposed to make it feel like don't complain because if you complain, like, the la bourgeoisie win or something.
Well, I think it's like I think it's like
you proletariat.
I think you're kind of comfortable. Like I think like the, just like you said with the pool being like an astroturf.
That's
like
ridiculous.
You kind of get a pool. Like like you can Instagram all of this and no one will know that it wasn't
right.
That
they have cool looking drinks at this fake pool,
exactly.
And you have it, and it's kind of funny in an irony way that we're not actually at a pool, I guess, to some people.
Everything
if you call it irony, you can save a lot of money.
Yeah. Everything is built for you to look like you're doing well,
exactly.
But you're not. Like yeah. It's a like this, they have the standard in LA has a or in Hollywood has a like a person modeling behind the check-in desk, like in a glass case, and just, and you're like, just get rid of this. Don't pay this person and fucking get better sheets.
Get rid of the like, poet.
I don't
and
need
get
the
my
poet.
Shower hot.
Yeah, like I don't
is
need
there a
all
the screenwriter in residence in LA. Or is it like
we
I
really
there's a pool in the LA one, but it's like one of those
pool,
ones people don't go in. That's
but,
what I was picturing.
Yeah, no one really kind of goes in. It's just. It is when you were talking about the hotel, because I've stayed at a few places like this where it's like it's almost like hitting the sensibilities of a certain generation. Like if you go to Vegas, like at the Rio, it's like from the '80s, and you can tell it's from a generation that was like that wanted to come back and go. The room was huge.
Yeah.
like, there's no reason for it to be huge. It doesn't have extra stuff.
Yeah.
It's just you want to come back and go, the room was fucking huge.
Reno, I went on my bachelor party. We went to Reno.
Yeah.
Would recommend it to anyone. You own the town in 30 minutes. Like, everyone knows who you are.
I've been to Reno.
And we got our room, $75 a night, double king-size bed.
It's huge. That's the thing.
Each
everything
room.
That's a generational thing. Now our generation, it's like, yeah, you have outlets everywhere.
Tons
of outlets.
There was a playlist in the standard room. They have their own built-in standard playlist that you can then like link up to the music thing.
And it's all, you know, Biggie and you know, it's like all like, and it's just like the political thing is the most hilarious That's fucking great.
You can call your congressperson.
Call local, you know, congressman. And then it's like so fucking 2019 to go, yeah, whatever you want to call about.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I'm sure you just want me to call about like banning gay marriage.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you want me to call about, right?
I should have brought the postcard in. If it's like, share whatever is on your mind. Like,
yeah.
Call Chuck Schumer right now.
Yeah, give him a call. Say whatever you want. It's like when people tell you to vote. They're like, go make sure you vote today. Just, not to say who you should vote for.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. You know, out and vote.
Yeah, get out and vote. No, just saying that in a vacuum.
Yeah, no, it's like I know someone who has, they started a political action committee where it's like, we want working moms. We're going to get them to be elected. But it's like, we want a certain kind of working mom. It wouldn't be like Sarah Palin.
We don't want Vince McMahon's wife. We don't want Linda McMahon.
Yeah, we're not encouraging all single working moms. But yeah,
our poet in residence is a big Republican.
That would actually I'd be like, okay, at least
Republican,
you guys have like
camp.
You guys took a fucking chance here. Like, you know, like
he's got this great one about how much he loves Marco Rubio.
Yeah, yeah. it's just like that's a, you know, everything they're doing, and it's like every turn you're like, okay, that's for Instagram, that's to look like a good person,
it
annoys
great.
Me. I've said there's other hotels like this. And I actually love this hotel. The Claremont in Atlanta is kind of in this vein. It's just Claremont Lounge is this strip club that's like a legendary strip club in Atlanta where it's basically like Roadhouse with
that's
a
not the Gold
pole.
Club. Is that right. The other one in Atlanta? Right?
There's another one, but
Atlanta's
this is
got the best strip club.
Yeah, sure.
Atlanta, but this is like the one that like people used to go to as kind of a joke.
Okay,
but now it's been reinvigorated. It's actually like a feminist strip club. Like it's owned by women. Like I've met the owner's daughter. Like she like now recognizes. I've been there a couple times. I've walked in. She's like, hey. I'm like, yeah, this is my cheers. I'm Norm, and then. No, but all the women are paid they're paid on salary, like they're given benefits. I think.
Oh, wow.
Like,
yeah. I'm not pay the women.
Yeah, so it's crazy. So
401k.
But they redid the hotel above. Used to be a place that you'd like hourly. You know, you would get like, you know, you would have like, you know,
pay by the hour.
Pay by the hour and have sex with the strippers from downstairs. Now it's been redone, and it's in this like redone section of town to be like. Hey, welcome to the Claremont Hotel. It's like a nicer hotel, and you can get a room with bunk beds.
Ooh.
So, and then they're like, they do this thing, which is like the ultimate 2019 type of thing, where they're like, would you like a PBR check in? And it's like all shit.
Upstairs.
To talk about later or to post on your Instagram stories, you're like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, I know what we're all doing.
We're so cool.
Yeah.
Upstairs is the AOC Super PAC office.
And even like the. Yeah.
You can volunteer to make cold calls.
And it's like the room is just nice enough. If you want to buy up, it gets a little bit nicer. But like, nothing is. There's nothing like I feel like we're going to this whole generation of like no if you want the luxurious option it's like if you buy like the room that's the suite you walk in it's just a jail cell like it's just a trick to get you.
Well, no, we had a friend who was on the podcast who went the Ritz Carlton in Thailand.
Oh, the Four Seasons. That's the type of luxury that
the Four Seasons in Thailand. And as part of his stay at the Four Seasons, you farm their field.
Fuck that.
You forage.
Fuck.
I don't even know that word.
Why are we like? I feel like I was born in the wrong generation. Like I stayed at like the Ritz in fucking Cleveland, and I was like, this is what life should be.
Yeah,
like it's like Cleveland.
No farming
like,
there.
No. You go like the lobby's on the sixth floor. You go up there, and it's like everything's nice. The bed is huge. The TV, you know, the water's running at all hours. You're just like, we're wasting water. We don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
you know, like
it's a real division now, and people, types of people who, like the Four Seasons. Like if you have can afford it, it's like you want to see the Four Seasons Ritz. That's kind of place. Or if you want to be in like in LA, like the Farmer's Daughter, or those kind of like hipstery little.
It's crazy.
Like, there's no.
Well, it's also
luxury,
this like non-admission. Like there's these people that are. So guilty of what
it's
they
called
have.
Guilt.
Yeah, they're so guilty.
Yeah, exactly.
That they're gonna tell you that they stay at a hotel that they this like the whole standard is built on the idea that like yeah there was no it's not like we stayed at a place with a pool.
Yeah,
we had AstroTurf because we're not like those people.
And
it's like
farmed.
You're those people because you just said you're not like those people.
Yeah. And meanwhile, they're very particular of telling you in the guide to the hotel that being in the hotel doesn't guarantee you admission to the nightclub. So they still, they're still
some sort of division.
And, and then they're ruining like the books, the 1984. It's like, now I'm never going to read that again because it's like, you can't read that book now. It's too like political to read it in public. You're like, it's like you're being smug. Yes. You have to wait like 5 years to read if you haven't read it.
Yes. It's just because you should have already read it.
You should have already read it. Yeah.
We're not judging, but we're judging.
Yeah. Books we should have read in school. Now we're,
So what was going on? You were in London. I want to get to I was in London, England a little bit.
So I had this, so the reason I'm staying at these nicer hotels.
Yes.
I was opening for Michelle Wolf while she was going around the world her. And her, she's amazing. And if anyone gets a chance to see Michelle, fucking go see it. She just taped a special. Get, you know, like, like gonna be like a legendary hour, fucking awesome. But we went and performed. So I'm in this great position where I'm going and seeing the country, seeing the world, not having to sell tickets, not having to like worry about who's coming to the show. I just go up and do 20 minutes, and then I'm like, okay, good night, everybody. I'll be having a beer, you know. So
and are you host? Is it just you two?
So just us two. So I would go up and I would start off the show, and then just do like a longer hosting set, and then by the end, I'm like, okay. Here we go. Come on, people. We need you. Like, get on board.
That's great.
It was great. It was so
much
fun.
And those are probably, those are how big the venue? That seems like pretty big venues.
Depend on where we were. But, like, London, so we did London, and that was, like, probably the most exciting part because you're like, let's see how this goes in, you know, in another country.
Yeah.
She has an audience out there that she's kind of, like, cultivated through the White House Correspondents' Dinner, but also, like, she's gone out there and done their late night shows and stuff. So, like, people were very excited. We did, like, a Leicester Square in London, which is like 400 seats, two nights there, and then went to Birmingham and then Manchester. And Birmingham was like, you know, 250, like a kind of a comedy club area. And then Manchester was more of a theater, was like another 400 seat place. But
that's,
it was
so awesome.
Fucking awesome. And before we got there, like a day early, so I went and did like a club in London to like see what would, because I didn't want to like go up and bomb for 20 minutes and then go, okay, here's the your hero, you know, so like also, and they also don't have openers there,
and it's a tough spot because they're there to see her,
and in England and they're more, it's more of like a, we're going to see the person, like there's no like understanding that like, oh, you're gonna get an opener or maybe a host or something like that. So like you know, Michelle would bring me out all the nights. She would get on the, like, the God mic, you know, and just be like, hey, everybody, it's Michelle. Just want to let you know, you guys don't have openers here, but I do. So this is what's happening.
Cool. That's good.
So it set me up as like for a win.
Because otherwise, like if you go to see Cats, like Cats just starts.
Cats starts.
There's no like Jared Breed doing 10 minutes before
Hey, Cats ever think about your penis?
Cats would be a lot better.
When you're on the West End, if you're not.
If they had an opener, it'd be a lot better.
Yeah. Some guy comes out, dresses as a dog. He's like, you're getting the dog before the cats. Just like a hacky, just like bullshit.
People are like, boo!
Yeah, boo. No, we're cat people.
Boo, mate!
Yeah, so I went and like, the first thing I did, I messaged this club, and it's like, you know, and they were like, yeah, we're doing a show, but then everything's just a little bit different but the same. You know, when you do comedy, you know, like you go to China, you do comedy there, it's like, we're all like, you know, stand-up is American.
Yes.
And these people have taken American thing and like made it their own country.
I'm not 100% sure in England they know it's American.
They I'm not sure.
A lot of the people I've met think it's theirs.
Mm. Yeah, well, they have that kind of like,
and catching up.
Yeah, right. But like, you go there and you see the stand up there is fine. It's funny, but it's like they do like an intermission. The audiences are way more polite, like I think they're like willing to let you. I think in London there's this thing here, and I see it with like certain types of shows where if you say a setup, they're like, that people don't agree with, they're like, no, get out, get out, you're done, I don't want to hear another word from you, you look different from me, you look like someone I hate, you've said something that they don't even wait for the turn in the joke,
right?
Yeah,
you know,
someone, like, I don't want to joke about this.
Yeah. You've brought up a subject that I will not be listening to. London kind of had that feeling for stand-up where it was like, where are you going with this, buddy?
That's good.
You know, we're not gonna laugh, maybe, like, listen, shit bombs, but it was like, it did have that nice feeling of, where are you going with this? And then someone told me that Patrice O'Neill used to go to London, and like I think he lived there for a while.
I think I heard that too.
And
yeah.
It made sense to me just by the way he tells a joke where he's like, you need a little bit of where you're going with this. With
he takes some time. Like, they just did something, which I think they do every year, that stand-up, whatever, diversity, whatever that thing is, where everyone gets 2 minutes at Gotham.
Okay, yeah, the diversity these, like, young showcase. Comics. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, he wouldn't be able to, 2 minutes. Like, what could you do? It takes 2 minutes to get going.
Yeah, he'd be, you know, he'd be 2 minutes into, here's why women are horrible, before
he could
make his point.
It'd be all horrible stuff. Yeah, before he could even get there.
Yeah.
I was doing a show in Miami recently. I have a bit that starts by saying that Chinese people in China speak Chinese. And yeah. That's how long it is.
Yeah.
And then I go into what I'm talking about, and this lady yells out, Mandarin!
Yeah.
And I was like, what? She's like, it's called Mandarin. I'm like, really? Because I lived there for 12 years. Yeah. Go tell them their language called Mandarin.
And then it's like, wait for the fuck. Like,
and also, you don't
think
I know
this
that?
Is?
Yeah.
What do you like?
I'd already told him I lived there for over a decade.
Yeah.
So she's an expert. She
it's
took
also
a class
not called
in college.
Mandarin. It's called Putonghua. But like, to you,
she took an Asian
Americanized
studies class.
It.
I had this happen. This happens with like, it happens with all audiences of a certain type. So it's like, we know that. It's already hack to say the right is the same as the left. Like, we know that. Like, yeah. the same crazies exist on both sides. Both of those crazies won't let you get through a fucking joke.
Yes.
And it's like, whether... So I was in front of an audience that was very right, and there's a line that I said that I'm impersonating. I witnessed a cab driver literally yell, I hate black people. Okay, I'm impersonating this person to then get to the joke.
Yeah,
and if you're listening right now and you're mad, you're the person that would get mad. Like, there's a turn. Okay, that's how all jokes work. And I do the impersonation. I go, I was in a cab, and this Indian cab driver goes, got cut off, and he goes, I hate black people.
Indian
great,
cab drivers really
Indian,
don't have
either.
They don't have a filter.
The best. Every Indian with an older dad just nodding in agreement. So I and then this woman, and we're in Portland, Oregon. So
oh
it's
God.
The whitest
oh
city right. in the country.
I think this is a left-wing audience now.
Yeah, right. No,
it's Antifa colored white.
Yeah, literally a woman with half a shaved head
and
incense burning in the audience.
Antifa.
Yeah, she looks and she just goes, "What?"
Oh.
It's like, oh, the racist didn't check in with you?
Yeah.
like she literally said, what? Like, as if, like, I'm like, this is the whole show. Is
so you go, no, he was Indian.
Her
like,
whole,
oh, okay.
No, her whole value system is if you're one minority, you can't hate another.
Yeah, yeah.
You're disrupting it with your joke.
I just love the thought of her just like, not on my watch.
Like, and it's like, I am offended.
Yeah, and it's like, you didn't even, it's just amazing. In London, you didn't have that. It would just be more quiet. Like, what are you gonna do?
What's
you know,
happening
like,
next?
And it's
did they
that get, was kind of something I appreciated. Like,
did they? I've weirdly never performed in the UK, but around Asia, most of the audience have British people in it.
Sure,
it's like a mix, and they're always the ones who heckle the most. But then afterwards, they think it's like they're supposed to. They're like, hey, you really got me back. Like, they're not angry.
There was that element of like when you go into the crowd, they loved it. Like they.
Yeah.
Because all their late night shows are just comics, you know, kind of just roasting shit.
Okay.
So like all their late night shows are like going into the audience and like four comics just sitting on a panel just being like, well, this person's the worst, you know, like all the tabloid stuff is big over there. So like, I think there's an element of like, they just love like the idea of like, and someone getting just like flogged in the street,
just mixing it up.
Yeah, like I didn't have that experience where they were yelling out, but I did have that experience where like the minute they got quiet, I would look in the audience and I would like make fun of someone like to try and like just get energy going, and they like loved that.
They loved
like
it.
That was like you know, you could feel they were like, oh, here we go, American telling us how we suck.
That's
like,
oh, they liked that.
Yeah, they were into that.
You know what? Maybe I'd always heard like, but this is like a decade ago. You know, like Tom Rhodes.
Yeah.
He used to tell me that like they would he's like, yeah, like British hack is just when you're bombing, you just say America sucks.
I mean, there's
and everybody's like back on board. But maybe It's like they've got the comedy scenes because of Netflix and everything have they've been exposed to more of our comedy and back and forth.
I think, you know, but I think also like everyone's kind of going through a we suck period right now, like except for like,
oh, because they had Brexit.
They have Brexit
that knocked
going
them down
on.
A peg. Yeah.
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 Like,
wait,
there's kind of this we're in the same boat type of thing.
Yeah, we're all like nuts.
We've got shit going on. It's confusing times.
Now they
like
got Boris Johnson.
I was there for when he was put into office. Like, I was there for that. Yeah, so like it was very interesting.
Let's get him on the pod.
Yeah,
we got to get him on.
I even walked, like, I walked through the town and then I walked into a Brexit protest. And it's like, it's interesting to, like, not. I mean, I know what's going on, but it's not mine. It's not like my house.
But
that
is
I'm
it the same beats as what's happening over here?
It's very. Some would say they're ahead of us.
Oh,
like, voting in Boris is kind of the reelecting Trump.
Well, Brexit happened like 6 months before Trump.
Yeah.
And I always say that was the happiest, as an American living abroad around British people, that was the happiest 6 months of my life.
Oh, really?
Because the previous 10 years was them all telling me that I was an idiot. Americans, you're stupid.
Yeah, you don't get irony. It's like you have idiots.
Don't get irony. That was like the, that's like the number one. It's like this parroted phrase.
But it's interesting because like I don't know enough about it to even have an opinion on it. So it's like I know where I think I fall, but like, you know what I mean? Like I wouldn't, like you were talking about like the Standard, the people at the Standard are like, they don't even get the paper.
Yeah.
Like everyone at the Standard Hotel just reads a Twitter line and it's like, I know, I get it. I know what's going on. So like, I feel like I'm more towards that. I've read a tweet and I'm like, I think I get it. You know, like when it's so much more complex.
I'm sure
than
the
that.
Hipster hotels in England are against Brexit. But
I would
call
assume.
Your local parliament
but
member.
It is interesting to see something that I don't have any skin in the game, but maybe some would disagree. They're like, well, Brexit means this and this. Fine. But I walked up to like the protest and like I just watched all these people protest, and I was like, I don't know if I'd be on this side. Like, I was like,
looking at the people, looking at them over, you're like,
I was just like, did my flash, like, there's a guy protesting in a beret. I'm like, I'm not on Team Beret.
Yeah,
that's
Team
like,
Beret.
That's the same reason I don't like Fish, the band.
Yeah.
You know, just like their audience. I'm like, this is enough for me.
Look at these people. And it's like, then you hear about Fish being like, these like, like,
I'm sure they're
like,
great.
Like, train and like, no, like,
jam. Bounce around the room. I remember that
lyrics.
Song. That was good.
But like, they all did like, their thesis on music. Like, Fish is quite talented and knowledgeable about their stuff, but you're like, but these people, I say that about Dave Matthews Band. Like,
same thing.
Dave Matthews Band, you can't say they're a bad band, but you can say you hate their audience enough to not want to listen to their music.
Yes. I would never go to a concert.
It's exactly how I felt about Beret Guy. Looking at me with the EU star circle on his head.
Yeah,
and I was get the fuck out of here, loser. Get these nerds. I'm Team Boris. You know,
Kaplan got hit in the head with a shoe after
after Trump got elected that
walking
week,
into a New Balance
I was
store.
Walking down 23rd Street. I had to buy shoelaces
because my dog
had chewed up my shoelaces, and I was going to the New Balance store to see if they had them. That was when there was like a thing that New Balance was like, you know, they
the
gave money
the alt-right.
Yeah, they gave money to Trump's campaign or something, and someone threw a shoe at me. George Bush.
Do people know how ridiculous that sounds?
They're alt-right joggers.
To just be like, well, you're wearing New Balance. Like, how ridiculous. Like, I don't even think people realize what they sound like when they, like, you're going to throw a shoe at a guy for walking into a New Balance.
My little Morky ate my shoelaces. I'm not even buying sneakers, guys. Ask a question before you throw.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, similar to that is like, I mean, I thought that was like last week with the Equinox and Soul Cycle.
Oh,
thing.
I knew you'd have
an opinion. I would never join a gym like that. It's with you.
Well, the idea that rich people are like, would have different political opinions as them. Like, and then they're like, what? Really? And it's like, dude, don't put away this fucking song and dance routine.
The people who fund these
companies.
Well,
it's like, pick one. Do you hate rich people or do you
want to spin for $42?
Yeah, exactly.
It's also like, you don't act like you didn't know things in your life might be connected to something that you disagree with.
Yeah.
Don't sit there going, like, as if it just hit you today that a billionaire might be on Trump's side. Like, I must leave Equinox. I had no idea this $300 a month gym would disagree with my sensibilities. Like, what?
Meanwhile, like the Planet Fitness, the head of Planet Fitness could be like an alt-right captain, and people would be like, I'm not giving up my $10 a month.
Exactly. And like,
they wouldn't even notice.
Also,
all right, captain.
All right,
they
leader.
They have captains?
I'm sure they got something wizard, whatever they're
also,
called.
Also, the person they're mad at is... owns all levels of gyms. It's not just Equinox. Right. He owns.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also the employees.
He owns the Miami Dolphins.
The Miami Dolphins.
Oh, we can purchase them.
Equinox, Blink, and the New York Sports Club. Like he
and my building. I live in a related building. I have to move out.
So, like yeah,
what trash the place.
So it's like pick and choose. Yeah. Like what are we choosing? It's like you know. Notice how there was nobody protesting Blink.
Yeah, Equinox was a cool. Yeah.
The Equinox are like, well, we have to talk about this. Blink, they're like, I have to get this done. So I can go to my hourly job.
Yeah. My wife was pretty fired up because she didn't get in her Soul Cycle classes this week without, there's no line. I was like, asked her to take it.
It's just such a, like a preachy fucking flag waving bullshit thing. And it's like all to like look like you're good without having to do anything to be good.
I think
good.
It gets back to guilt, as you were saying
the
earlier.
The guilt thing, yeah. It's like, yeah. You know, I was at a Red Roof Inn Plus once, and they
protesting.
Can you call your congressman?
I was protesting the Ritz.
Your local congressman was actually there banging his mistress.
Reading 1984.
Well, like when you stay in a shitty hotel, and then they ask you to hang up your towel to be reused, you're like, go fuck yourself.
Exactly.
This is not where the earth gets saved. Yeah. I will be fucked. Yeah. I will take a dump on the floor. Before.
They're trying to hide behind they want to have less employees, so they want to have less housekeepers.
That's
so
they're, right. They're
so
trying to make
like,
more
we're going to make the environment better. Please help us.
So what was it when you're on stage in England? What about the? Is there a preconceived notion of an American when you walk on stage?
No. That's a, well. They, okay. When they the, so the club, they were like this next guy. Like, what's funny is everything's different but the same. So like the person running the club in England is still the same dickhead who runs a show in New York. You know, like the guy who's got a lot of power because he's got this one hot show.
Stephen Ross.
Stephen Ross walks
Stephen
out.
Ross runs the.
He's like, listen, half the money to ticket sales goes to Trump, and everyone's like, okay, fine, but we want some comedy. So it's like this guy, like he's like, next up, like he's doing like long amounts of crowd work. And then he's
The MC?
Yeah. And then he goes, and then he's like, yeah, you'll go. And I'm like, when do I go on? He's like, you'll go on whenever. And I'm like, okay, well, you can't just say. And then I asked another guy. And he's like, yeah, he doesn't tell anyone. You know, like this is kind of how it goes. I'm like, oh, this is a familiar feeling.
Is he also the owner of the club?
Yes.
Oh,
so it's like a whole.
I get it. Yeah.
There's a whole comedy background. But then, so he brings me up and it was fine. And then. You know, like, I think they look at me and then you open your mouth and they go, oh, American. Like, it does have that feeling. The best part about, you know, doing stand-up in China and doing it in England is that, like, you're automatically, like, a little bit more interested. You know,
sure,
like, you're
yeah.
automatically like, oh, let's have, like, it's the reason so many of our political, you know, pundits are English. You know, like,
oh,
it's
I know.
Like, it's yeah. like
the
no
accent.
One, yeah, the accent just gives you credibility for some reason. Like, no one's ever sitting here being like, John Oliver, that straight white man.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, who's he to tell us? No one says that
just
about him.
There's straight white guy, cisgendered, I believe.
But everyone's like, ooh, John Oliver. Everyone's like, pipe down.
Yeah.
You know, our social commentator is here.
He has something to say.
Yeah.
From the country of world imperialism.
You do understand why some people move here or why someone would move there. Like, you're like, oh, people are listening a little bit. You do get that vibe.
Well,
like,
I can tell you
that's
this.
That's why Turner stayed there for so long.
I was going to say, you moved to China. I knew every kid I knew was a complete dirtbag who all of a sudden's like a vice president of some company just because they're the one American guy.
There it is.
You must know. You went to college in America.
You
like,
get it. Yeah.
I went to like San Diego State or whatever.
I remember I talked about like how.
To China.
I went to San Diego. I remember Shout I went out. Going on stage in China. I was like, I just was like, I would say like, China felt like America without Jews.
Yeah.
And they were like, ooh, Jewish. Like, as if like the most like, oh, this is a different brand of American that we've never seen. You know, like all of a sudden you're like, you know.
We've heard about them.
Yeah, we've heard of these. Tell us about your Jewish ways, you know, so.
Oh, I wanted to ask this too. What about the, one thing I initially when I was early in comedy, it annoyed me, but now I've grown to love it. Seeing, whenever anywhere on the road, seeing people do jokes about like local jokes, not you, not a visitor,
sure.
But like the local acts.
Well, yeah, there was, that's the
like,
one thing.
Oh, whenever, Birmingham. Oh, that's why his shoes aren't tied.
Well, that's
whatever,
exactly.
You know?
You see that. It's, you know, what's interesting is like, you notice the things that you do in America via like, you know, now you're stepping out of your own shoes. So you're like watching someone do the local joke and they're like, that's an Essex chick. And everyone's like, goes crazy.
Without explaining what that means.
Just
Essex chick.
Just like, and everyone's like, oh yeah, everyone's on the same page and you're the only one. I remember that happened to me early in comedy. I opened for a guy who did like Orthodox temples. So he'd do like Jewish Orthodox temples, and then he brought me to like open for him.
Yeah.
And then I would bomb, and I'm like,
you weren't Jewish enough.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. He did jokes that were like so Jewish.
Talmud jokes.
I didn't even get it.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I was like, I remember he did one joke where it was like, I got to go pack. I went to Israel. I didn't realize I'd have to pack for Israel. And I was like, everyone just dies. And I'm like, what's going on? I asked him later. He's like, yeah, well, when you go to Israel and you know people there, they ask you to bring a bunch of shit with you.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I remember the first time I went to LA to do comedy in LA.
Yeah.
I didn't know one single thing about an Armenian.
Yeah,
it had never even entered my brain that was a,
I hope he didn't leave
version
with the genocide joke
of person. No, I didn't do any Armenian jokes.
Okay.
But I learned every single stereotype you could learn because I was at in North Hollywood, wherever that called. It was the Ha Ha, I think.
Yeah.
And every comedian was just destroying with like, oh, it's an Armenian. Oh, look at his arms are hairy or whatever it was.
Yeah,
and it made me realize, I was like, oh, I'm such a hack. I'm doing all these same things in China. I was like 2 years into comedy.
Of course.
You know?
I mean, you see that with like certain comics that have like a certain following. You know, like, even if it doesn't have to be out of the country, you can be like at like go to a Maz Jabroni show.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like his audience is like very, they're all familial to
specific.
Each other.
Yeah.
So they can say things that you're like, I don't know. And so it's like, it's gotta be hard to be that guy like him where he's like a famous working comic,
very good comic.
And like, you have to be so self-aware that like, okay, when the audience is this, like, it's almost like you have to have two acts. You have to have the...
People do that, right?
Absolutely. I'm sure he does. I'm sure Maz does, where it's like, okay, when I'm doing my headlining show, I do this. When I go to Montreal to do like a set within sets, I have to reference who I am, but I can't really get into the weeds on it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's one act you just sit, you just kind of have forever to make money. You're like, anytime I do this, I'll just do that. And then meanwhile, I'll be writing my hour that I can turn over every couple years.
I mean, when I was in London, the whole thing, I just kept like sifting through jokes, being like, okay, you go. And I think what happens is when I was in London, the one thing that I kept coming back to is like, I would slow up on my jokes because I'm like, will this next word be something that they have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about? And in the first night, I kept going, like, I would make a joke into it. I'd be like, you guys have mosquitoes here? Like I didn't know. And then you guys got mosquitoes. And then they would, like, laugh at that. And then Michelle, she came on stage. She was like, give it up for Jared. He's doing his new hour call. Do you have this here? Because, like, it became, like, the running, you know, bit throughout the
Did you find
set.
Anything that they didn't get?
They definitely, Bethany Frankel is not as famous not there either. As she is here.
I don't know who that is.
What kind of world
she's
is
on
that?
The Housewives.
What kind of horrible
she's
world?
The created
she's
skinny girl
she
margarita.
She checks you in at the Standard Hotel.
No, she wouldn't be seen
the
there.
Skinny
Come
girl
on.
Margarita.
That's good to know.
Is she Jersey Shore?
She's on Housewives of New
she
York.
She was one of the original ones. Like,
she's the original
been,
one.
I even
heard. Okay. My wife would know.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, should we well, first of all, your dates, we gave them out earlier, but
thank you, I appreciate that.
August 22nd, 24th, Sacramento Punchline.
That's where I'll be. If you guys can come out, I'll be ranting much like this, but in a different way.
A lot of Bethany Frankel jokes.
There'll be at
they
least one.
They have mosquitoes
one.
In Sacramento.
They have mosquitoes there.
Oh, it's mosquito season. You kidding
mosquito
me?
Mosquito season. Okay, good.
You're right by the Sacramento River. There.
I can't wait.
They come right off the river.
You got to tell
the American. Excuse
Jews
me. American.
He'll pack bug spray. I'll tell you.
If there are Jews there, come on out. Yeah. Come on out.
Last time you were there, I happened to be there, so I hosted. And then afterwards, we went to this part. You were like, hey, everybody, let's pick a bar, and we'll all meet there in Midtown Sacramento, which is like a 10-minute drive away.
Midtown.
It was, it's like the cool hip part of the
city. It was
fun.
Now.
Yeah, it was a blast. It was also like you walked in, and everybody, it was the closest I've ever felt to like a celebrity comic.
Yeah, right.
And it was weird, because I'm from that city, and I didn't know. It ended up like a couple of the kids I went to high school with.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I was like, all these people know who you are and who I am by default, by this show.
Yeah.
But I didn't know any of them previously, but I'm from here.
And now they're like, and you're probably like, oh, you went to high school where? I went to this.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah,
you
it have was
this,
all
like,
that.
Familiar thing.
And it was
yeah.
the height of Sacramento because it was the first time in 13 years the Kings were in the playoff race. Mm. And Lady Bird had just come out.
Oh, so what year is that? 2000?
It was our golden era.
We're going to be making documentaries about that year.
Everything's happening.
The year the Kings almost made the playoffs yeah. and we had a movie that showed
the Lady Bird years.
And then it's all downhill. Jailbirds is our next show, which was like about the Sacramento prison.
Oh,
about
boy.
Female prisoners on Netflix. It's a real disaster.
Well,
so.
I'm going to be at the female prison all weekend.
That's where the after party
that's
is.
Where the after party is going to
yeah,
be.
Yeah. Plant the seeds out.
No, I'm excited to go back. I like Sacramento. I'm pumped to do like a weekend there, but like it's that Midtown area was cool. I remember
that's
enjoying
where the clubs
that.
Should be.
That's you. There is a thing where like I do think like. You know, we're talking about the hotel, the Standard, and how kind of like the changing nature of like, I call these areas millennial comforters because like they're just comfortable. Yeah. I know I feel good in these certain areas.
Right. It's like a downtown area that's not actually dangerous in any way.
Yeah, exactly.
And like
that's
artisanal
it. That's it. That's
pubs
exactly.
Yeah.
You just described Midtown without ever being there.
A house that was that used to be a house that's now a bar. Like, yes. And it's like you want to feel like you're not at a chain place, but you want the place to be really good business. Like yes. outlets under the bar. Like there's just these like sensors, and I know when I'm I don't mind being sold. Like I know when I'm being sold.
Yeah.
I just don't want there's a thin line. Like having the call your fucking
yeah,
representative is right over
that's
line.
Over the line.
Yeah,
can, I get
yeah.
can I get a plastic straw in Midtown? Or think those are gone by now.
No, I guarantee those are gone.
Oh, yeah, that's
gone. It's also
I'll be bringing all my plastic straws to Midtown.
Yeah,
I'll be dealing them.
Anyway, the Punchline's it's a great club. It's the main club in Sacramento.
Yeah,
everybody go there. That's it. Jared, do you want to stick around for the news?
Let's do some news.
All right, play the music. Back. First news story of the week comes to us from Fox News, Kaplan.
All right. People turned off already. It's like they don't want to hear the joke. They don't want to hear the Fox
News
story.
Not our
they
audience.
Put playgrounds in the camps at the border. That's what I feel like the Fox News story.
That's a good idea.
They dropped off 1984 copies at the.
They're all learning to read.
At the border. Argentina's women's basketball team forfeit game after wearing the wrong jerseys.
Oh, wow.
This is a very Kaplan
this
move.
This is the Kaplan Team of the Year award.
Yeah. I feel like this is daily life in your world.
Very lost in lost in Pan America.
Yeah, wearing the wrong jerseys. It's also, they wore, this is in the Pan American Games. They literally had to forfeit the game. The referees gave them 15 minutes to go find their right jerseys.
What were their
what did they wear?
What were they wearing that was
pajamas?
So wrong they couldn't play the game?
They came out in Che Guevara t-shirts.
Yeah. Were they wearing skins? Like, what were they?
No, they were wearing light blue, and the other team was wearing dark blue, and the referees said that they wouldn't be able to tell them apart.
Oh, they were wearing, like, their home jersey instead of their away jersey?
And they should have worn white.
This is, like, one of those, like DMV rules. Like I have this, so I live in a building now where I have nothing but issues.
Yeah.
And every time you try to get something done in the building, they'll a guy will come with tools to do something in my apartment and they'll go, "Oh, he's wearing sneakers?" I guess you got to start over. Like, it's always the one little tiny thing. And this kind of reminds, and I call them DMV rules because it's like you get to the front of the line and they're like, "Oh, you didn't put your middle initial.
Yes.
Come back in 3 months."
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, that's like this, it kind of reminds
me.
We
open
that.
At 8, get here at 6:30.
Yeah.
There's a line.
And you didn't say hello to the security guard. Well, that means you got to wait 6 months because you can't drive.
It's, so they literally lost out. They could have gone like into a medal game.
They should let them try to play the game, and if the other team threw the ball to them by mistake, as long as they agreed, you don't do that thing in basketball when you're like the color to someone. You say, "I'm open." When you're on the other team, and you no doing that. Just be a good sport because I'm in a hipster basketball league in Brooklyn.
Oh yeah,
and we played. I'm the team maroon, and we played this team red a few weeks ago, and they ordered like it's like the exact shade of red. These two jerseys.
Okay,
so it was like a full game of like we're all wearing the same shirt. Closer to this, I'm sure, and we made it work.
But just go inside out.
We didn't make them forfeit.
But this is
we
is
made
like
the guys go skins actually.
This is like someone on the other team was like, Oh shit! They didn't wear the right jerseys. We won.
Cha-ching, yeah. Cha-ching.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking play.
Who do they play?
I smell a metal.
I mean, Argentina's probably pretty good. So who are they playing? It was probably
I don't know.
Argentina's got good basketball.
Yeah, Manu Ginobili's daughter was on the team or something.
Anyway, the president of the country's like women's basketball association resigned.
Oh my god! Well, that is a clerical issue. Like I mean, if anyone should resign,
it's a big.
It's not like he didn't play well.
Karina Rodriguez, she's out.
I'd be like, you know, the equipment person's
taking
gone.
Responsibility. Is something I don't know if that would happen here. So
do you know there is a Pan American Games? Like I feel like this has gotten
that was like the
70s. We're in it, right? America's in it.
No, we're
American.
In it. The only reason I knew about it is there's protests going on, and they talked about it on Pardon the Interruption last night.
Oh, okay.
And they literally said at the end of it, they were discussing because some people took a knee during the American national anthem.
That's
and
where that's from.
You know, and they're like, they're going to punish these people. So the discussion is, should they be punished? And they're like, yes, they should be punished, but also a slap on the wrist. And then they were like, and then they came to the end. They're like, well, the only problem is no one knows how to find this on TV. Yeah. No one's watched this.
I was sitting, no one would have known unless if they wouldn't have talked about it on Pardon the Interruption.
Exactly. I was watching the day after I was at the Standard Hotel, I was at brunch and I was on a TV. There was a women's soccer game. And there was a giant stadium, and I was thinking of our argument about pay gap.
Yeah, sure.
There was nobody in the stadium. I took a picture of the screen. It was hilarious. There was less people. There's as many people as a high school.
It was a deepfake.
At a really high school game. Yeah. But then I thought, I didn't want to post it to try to prove anything about women's soccer, because I was like, it's the Pan American Games. I don't think anyone's watching any of it.
I don't think that's a female thing.
Yeah, it wasn't a female. I think it's no one's watching that fencing thing.
Well,
it
makes you wonder, you know, when you see all these post, you know, they show the Olympic cities at a year after everyone's been there.
Oh,
like,
they're a wasteland.
It's a wasteland. And you're what are we doing? Why are we keeping, we're in this period of time right now where we're doing certain things because we've always done
them. Yeah, we have enough sports now. We don't need to.
Yeah, I'm going to watch, I want a second football league. I don't want.
Yeah, exactly. The two things that I'm shocked it still exists, which I found it recently too, is the Pan American Games. I thought that went out in the 80s, and the World's Fair. Still exists.
They're
World's
still with
Fair.
Them.
Yeah, they do a World's Fair every year. The only reason I know this is because when I was in Shanghai, they had one in 2010 there.
And
that was the thing
cities?
Before the internet and stuff.
Yeah.
That was
so it might not. Maybe it's every 4 years or something. But it switches cities. They invent new inventions come out.
People bring their apps. What are they bringing?
I don't know. BMW has a new car and stuff like that. Every country has a pavilion. It's a county fair, but your town, it's every country. You can go get Argentinian food.
Let's go to the next one. Let's look that up.
Brazilian barbecue, whatever.
That's quite a Life bachelor pod. Party location. We're going to the World's Fair.
Oh, and you can drink at them.
The most recent World's Fair was 2017 in Kazakhstan.
Boom!
Really?
I told you. Well, Kazakhstan.
That's a sad bachelor party.
Next story of the week
Would
comes
you
from
like
us.
Another lap dance?
I actually went to the Kazakhstan tent when I was in
World Strip Club thing? A tent?
In Shanghai. The Kazakhstan pavilion. That's what it's called. And dude, they had Kazakhstani juice. I'm not joking you. It was water and sugar.
Oh, juice.
Yeah.
If they said juice, I was
they didn't have those. water and sugar and sand were the ingredients.
Sand?
I'm not joking you.
Protein.
Yeah, they like it. Next story.
They like it. Have your juice.
Next story comes to us from the New York Times. We're going all the way from Fox News to the New York Times. Okay. This is the podcast of the alt middle. So
okay, perfect.
We go all over the place. You're going to have an opinion.
This is going to be the border kids are murdered. You know, go to the other side.
Vodka from Chernobyl is perfectly safe, says the scientist who made it.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love
scientists.
Says the scientist who made
the
it.
That's he's not even hiding their alt. Their
guys, I swear, try it. It'll get you fucked up.
People just watched an entire miniseries about how everybody was telling them the wrong thing.
No, here's the best part, though.
Little Chernobyl juice.
Scientists from Britain and the Ukraine set out to show that safe agriculture is feasible in some of the abandoned areas around Chernobyl, and they plan to make more of the artisanal spirit as they venture to support the local. local community.
See, this is,
oh, it's
this,
organic. It's Midtown. Yeah. Midtown Sacramento's going to be serving this.
Exactly.
This Chernobyl is vodka.
We don't have to revitalize everywhere. We can leave some places to be done
Chernobyl
with.
And Detroit.
Yeah. We can, it's done. It's over. We're moving on.
It's a giant world. Yeah, Russia's massive. We don't
Nashville
need
is beautiful. Okay. Let's do Nashville. We don't have to, fucking make hipster Chernobyl.
The warehouse district in Chernobyl is awesome. The bands are great.
They're already doing coffee shops. I swear, the coffee shops in Chernobyl.
The third ring road around Houston is a
standard.
Coming back.
A standard hotel is opening up in Chernobyl next week.
We got to start. You can make vodka and milk are being made out of anything now.
Yeah.
I was just down in Mexico when I was near Tulum. They do like cenote vodka, which actually is good because that's clear water.
And it's good for you.
Water,
it's not a grain.
Exactly, I could drink it.
I swear to God, but they could explain any of these things and make it sound like so good for you.
East River vodka. Let's do it.
No, we take East River has the best minerals for the vodka.
Made with real mob members.
Would you drink East River over drinking Chernobyl water?
Sure.
We were in Portland, Maine, and Portland, Maine is like the center of creating alcohol. Like they have all these breweries. They have all these distilleries. And we went into one place and it was a mead.
Mead, that's the new
a mead maker. Yeah. And it's honey. They take honey and they turn, and they're like, this is the first. And the way they explained it, you're like, man, I get it now. Like, they're like, we make it out of the honey and we're saving the bees. And, it's better than wine for this reason. It's low on the glycemic index. It's like, and you're like, well, and then I asked the guy, I was like, have you had an uptick because of the Bud Light campaign? Like, my dumb question was like, I saw it on a Bud Light. You ever see the Bud Light
commercial?
No,
The Bud Light commercial is the king.
Then
he goes, and then someone, they're making fun of hipsters that want a craft beer. And there's a guy at the king's party who's like, do you have any nice mead?
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, that's how I know mead. And then he goes, actually, now that you mention
all
it, we
press
have.
Is good press.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it's been a big deal for them.
That's what I brought you last year. That's the Vladi stuff. That was mead.
Oh, that's disgusting. This beer is still in my fridge.
Oh, I was going to bring more
to me because for some reason he got beer with Vladi Divac on it.
Yeah, okay. It's a pumpkin flavored mead.
Well, that's the thing. They can make it's gluten free. They make it a flavor. They had blueberry mead. It was good. I liked it, but it was I don't know. I don't understand. It's I missed childhood. I don't know. Everyone my age was just into this shit.
Everyone's so nostalgic.
I'm a couple years too old.
Everyone's I want to be a blacksmith.
But also, I was gone. It all happened when I was gone.
That
was.
Yeah.
For 12 years I was gone, it changed.
It's right. Like the financial crash happened, and everyone's like, I gotta be a cobbler.
Yeah.
I gotta go back to my roots.
Yes.
We had a guest. A few weeks ago who became a hemp farmer. He was in the CIA basically, and
he left the CIA to go farm hemp in upstate New York.
This is the thing. Yeah. Everyone has this story around a certain age. I follow this one girl, and she's a butcher, and she's like, I just had to be a butcher. And you're like, really?
Explain it to our grandparents too. My grandparents had a fish market and they'd be appalled. If I opened up a fish market, they would be rolling over in all the graves.
I'd do anything for you to be a coder. Yeah. I'll put you through college. I work the fish market just so you could be a lawyer.
And now everyone's opening up whitefish this and that.
I'm opening up the new Russ and Daughters.
All right, last story of the week comes to us from, the New York Post. We're hitting all
we're
the
going
top
back.
Ones. All
going
the best.
Back
enough
down,
intellectual. Yeah. Spike Seltzer is the official cocktail of summer 2019.
A beverage theme.
It is Spike Seltzer.
This is for you specifically.
This is very much me and my wheelhouse. The Spike Seltzer game is fantastic. White Claw crushing it.
That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, White Claw is the big one.
It's up 169% in sales over 2018.
What did you do last year?
This is crushing. Beer is going away. Mm. No one drinks beer. No one, it's all craft. It's all seasonal.
Yeah.
It's all from a brewery. Bud Light's getting killed.
Bud Light's got
to why
be
they did that
They
got
to improve that commercial,
Did you see the Coors Light commercial they did recently to try and connect with people?
He watches all the beer commercials.
I watch them all. There's a Coors Light commercial now where a young woman, a beautiful young woman, gets home. She goes in the fridge, cracks open a Coors Light, and then takes her bra off from under her shirt. shirt.
Old school.
And we're supposed to be like, you get it, Coors Light.
That's my childhood.
That's Kaplan. That's how you hit Kaplan.
I'm going to buy some Coors Light.
40-year-old to 50-year-olds, it's just all like
that's
girls.
Our wheelhouse.
We'll buy it.
But it's just like so funny. It's like, oh, we, like, as if like, we know how hard your day is.
Yeah.
Take off that bra. Have a Coors Light. It's like, what do we do? Yeah, so it's like, White Claw, so, like, it's the combination of getting fucked up with not getting fat.
But that's in my head, and I know I missed a decade, but if you drank hard alcohol out of a can, it's like you skip the bar, it goes straight to the paddy wagon.
Well,
it's like real criminal white trash.
Well, it started with ice bros icing bros.
I was gone for that.
Ice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was the one where everyone was like, it was a big joke. And then people were like, well, these are pretty tasty, actually.
Zima's what's
I was
in my
at a party
head.
That Zima, people yeah. were shotgunning Smirnoff Ice, and I thought that was bizarre. I didn't realize that was a, yeah, I missed this whole generation.
Bros icing bros, yeah, yeah. And then it got, we were like, oh, well, these ices are pretty good. So that kind of like trickled off, but it stuck around like summertime.
It was the gateway.
Somebody was like, oh, shit. People will drink this and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. How do I make it 100 calories so I've under-caloried the beer, under-carb the beer, and then just give you what you want, which is to get fucked up and have a refreshing drink. Like, there's no, like, and there, we've lost the whole idea of, like, be a man, drink the shot, don't make a face.
Yeah, okay.
Like, that's gone. The shame of drinking something. I drink rosé all the time. You know how many?
Oh, my God. What's going on in the world?
I drink rosé, and people are like, rosé? And I'm like, yeah, dude. And then there's a moment where, like, guys will want to make fun of it, and then they, by the end of it, they're having a rosé with me too.
So if there's a drink that sounds really good but it's pink, I can order this now and not be laughed at.
You're in.
Like, what's going on?
Shame is gone. So that's why true. Certain good things are coming
so
out of it.
So it extends to alcohol as well.
Absolutely. White Claw is here because so shame is
it good?
So it's seltzer.
Delicious.
It is.
It tastes like seltzer because I like seltzer as a Jew and all. But it tastes like alcohol in it.
Here's
like,
what it is. It's a vodka soda with a flavored seltzer. You know, okay. Like, so it's like, it's basically if you took like, you know, like a LaCroix and mixed it with vodka and you mix
so
it,
that
and they
is
mix
true.
It well.
The shame thing is true. Cause I remember I knew a kid 5 years ago. Still to this day, we call him Vodka James.
Yeah.
Making fun of him because he used to drink vodka seltzers, like vodka soda water 10 years ago. Today, I have to drink it cause it's the only alcohol I can still drink cause I got back issues.
This is
but
it.
Not a single person has shamed me.
No.
And I feel odd about it. I feel
you
like I
go,
deserve
you should
it.
Try this seltzer. It could be good for your back.
Maybe that's true.
This is all they serve at the Standard.
All right. Sit around your fake pool.
But I'm saying, like, these vodka, like the seltzer, even Natty Light just came out with a seltzer.
Oh my God. Is there a Milwaukee's best seltzer yet?
I give up.
The Natty Light one looks good. Like, you're looking at the
Mickey's
bag,
big
like,
mouth.
So at college, they don't have kegs anymore. They're just like, sitting there drinking these.
I'm telling you what, you can get a variety pack of White Claw, and it's like, you see that box, and you're like, we're ready to party. Like, you know it's going to be a fun time.
I saw you the night at
a
concert. I didn't know. Okay, I'm going to try.
They better be sponsoring your Sacramento, California show. August 22nd.
I'll be, thank you.
I like, and the kids.
I'll be drinking plenty of White Claws in Sactown.
My kids find seltzer disgusting, so it's good. I'll keep them from drinking.
Fantastic.
If they come to drink, everyone's doing.
That is it, guys. Wow. That's the podcast. That's everybody, stick around for the wrap-up show. Me, Cap, and
it'll be coming
Matt.
On in a couple days.
We got to find out who producer Matt is on the wrap-up show. That's it, everybody. Jared, thanks for
Thank
doing it.
Thank you for having me. Great. Such a pleasure.
Cap, what should we do?
Let's get lost.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.